Can't get enough wrestling talk? Well, check out Ringside Rant with top guys RJ and Justin, the kings of ranting. The new shows drop each Friday morning at 9 Eastern, and it'll take you back to the good old days of pro wrestling, but also the not so good days. Ringside Rant is available on all podcast platforms, as well as full press coverage, Wrestling with Johnners Network, and the Shining Wizards Network. You can also follow the show on Twitter at @_ringsiderant. It's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin. New shows drop Friday morning at 9 Eastern. That's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin. A couple of top guys doing top guy stuff. It's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin. New shows Friday mornings at 9 Eastern.
It's Friday. It's 9 a.m. You know what that means. Another great episode of the Ringside Rant is with you this week. And introducing your host, he is Cincinnati's favorite son, J.D. Justin Davis. And from Rochester, New York, he is the man with the magical voice, RJ. And as always, welcome to Ranters Nation. Welcome to episode 160 of the Ringside Rant. I am the man with the magical voice, RJ. He is already shaking in his Nikes because he's afraid the Bengals are going to be losing January 2nd to my Buffalo Bills on the biggest stage of them all, Monday Night Football. JD, Justin Davis. Justin, what's up?
Oh, nothing. Just trying to figure out this NFL schedule now that it dropped a few days ago and plan some trips to go watch my AFC champion Bengals play this year. And they will, I'm going to Nashville with the great Frank Bruno. And I think it's some more, another few contingent of slapdicks.
Sure.
To watch the Bengals and Titans and planning on being in Cincinnati for Monday Night Football to watch them beat the Bills.
Well, see, we talked about this earlier and even friend of the show, Anthony Pyrus, was like, hey, you coming to New England December 1st for the, I think it was a Thursday night game where Buffalo plays in New England. And I'm like, bud, thanks for the offer. But I'm like, I don't even want to go to work on December 1st when it's snowing. I'm exaggerating, but I'm like, I was looking for tickets here and for the Titans game. And I'm like, the nosebleeds are like $159. I'm like, if I'm spending money, I'm going to sit down closer. I'm not sitting in the nosebleeds where I catch, like, who knows what you're going to catch at a Bills game, but.
Just hope you don't go through a table.
Well, right. That's always a possibility. But the thing is, though, it's like now I got to think about a gentleman's bet with Mr. Frank Bruno, because we had one last year when the Bills faced the Titans. So I have to I've yet to tell him this or ask him this, but I have to go through him to see what we're going to do this year. But we'll see what happens. I'm excited for the season to start and and go from there.
Yep, it should be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
What's up? I'm sorry, I interrupted.
Oh, go ahead.
No, another thing I was going to say. Another thing I'm looking forward to is. Next week's episode, not in addition to this week's, of course, next week, we're going to have a third man in the booth. We'll say, we made the announcement, last week, as we're recording, but, Poundwater Dave is going to be our third man in the booth once a month. He's going to come in and, spread his wealth of knowledge over his many years on this earth, in professional wrestling. He's going to be joining us once a month. As we watch a couple of matches from the pay-per-view and hopefully he will not have his contingency of geese coming with him because, and I will repeat it, fuck geese, punch them in their stupid beaks.
man, they're all over the place around here right now. I see them everywhere, it seems like, and I don't fuck with a goose. Eddie Schiavone's right.
Well, but the funny part, I'm like, there's God. They have to take some, and I think they did. They have to take some sort of advantage of this at Pro Wrestling Tees or Box of Gimmicks or something. Somebody has to, because it's got to happen.
Now, are we going to be watching any shows that Dave was actually at, like, you know, Gorgeous George and Luthez back in 59? And
well, but see, the thing is, though, I don't know. I know there's a lot of film out there, but I don't even think film was invented then for when Dave was watching wrestling. But yeah, no, I've always said, and you know, it's when we had him on last time when we watched, what was it, Starcade with him, right?
I think Dave's favorite wrestler as a kid was George Hammerschmidt.
I thought it was Abraham Lincoln when he was wrestling.
Well, you know, I am excited to have Dave on. It'll be fun to have him in here once a month to join us, and looking forward to that next week. Yep.
And who knows? It may turn into more frequent. Who knows? You never know. Hopefully we can we'll pick his brain as much as we can. We'll
get more details live next week here on Ringside Rant about this infamous goose situation.
We have to because that's
only that here on Ringside Rant will you get the details, the inside, the scoop,
right
inside scoop on the geese
equal ratings.
That's right.
They have to. I'm gonna say they're everywhere else in the freaking country. Why not?
This is the first show I've ever done shirtless.
No. I didn't even mention that too. I'm glad you brought it up.
Well, I'm getting ready to get in the pool. I got my pool boy Efren already getting it all warmed up and ready to go.
Now, I asked Efren about the Cornette gimmick that we talked about on the show, if he's got it ready for
it's not loud enough. I
didn't even told him. I said, Bud, you can make it loud enough yourself. You got to put some pizzazz in it.
It'll get plenty loud as soon as he gets inside the outfit.
Well, yeah, but any outfit once he gets in, it's gonna be loud. But no, yeah, it's I figured that you would have gotten his uniform. What the hell is that video that goes viral all the time? Why aren't you in uniforming?
Yeah.
Stonder off. And well, that's probably something that we can't show on the show or online anymore.
Well, that Jim Cornette suit is kind of look like a little military-ish.
True.
It's like a mix between the guy that runs the opera or like the orchestra.
The conductor
and a military person.
That's an interesting way of putting it, and Efren would definitely own it.
We could call him Corporal Cock.
CC.
That's his gimmick name.
And then he just went, oh my God. I think we just came up with a new nickname for Efren. Just call him CC. That no, I don't know. Whatever.
He'd get a good logo out of that.
Well, of course, he'd make money off of that. Yeah, those shirts right off the bat.
The CC on the back of the coat.
Well, but the thing, or he could just put the logo of his Flair trophy. Or here. I know we're really getting in the weeds on this. And you're usually the one that get all about the wardrobe, but what about we get like little lapel pins of the trophy? And you put it on his lapel on his jacket or something.
Oh, that'd be good.
The thing is, so you can't get simple and subtle with Efren.
No.
So I'm like, maybe he would need that the ginormous logo on the back.
But. Well, I guess we'll go ahead since we're talking about him and plug his show. This next one coming up, this next WrestleGamia is going to be fun. It's going to be a Name That Wrestling Tune.
Oh, so it'd be our wheelhouse.
So yeah, that I'm looking forward to that one a lot.
No, that's official though, right? That's not rumoring innuendo.
I think June 5th is the day, right after Rebels Happy Hour, perhaps.
June 5th. That sounds about right. Well, let's see. No, she wouldn't have it this weekend. So it would be the 5th. Yeah. We're on.
Know if I'm breaking news on that. I thought it was announced.
Well, you also keep in mind too, this isn't coming out for another basically a week, so we may not be officially breaking it, but close enough. But Something that will be breaking is this episode of SmackDown we're going to be watching, Justin. Not watching, but going over. From the 19th of May, 2006, this is the go-home show to Judgment Day. So we're going to see a lot of, you know, storylines really trying or attempting to come to the cusp of it. The JBL Mysterio, Mark Henry and Angle. And we got the King of the Ring finals between Lashley and Booker T. So we got a lot of loose ends to tie up.
Yeah. This show I wasn't super impressed with. I'll just start with that. But we are live in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I don't really have any interesting things about Albuquerque like I did Lubbock last week. But I guess they're on that Southwest stretch of touring down there, Lubbock and Albuquerque. And so,
you know, but one guy that may have a lot to say about Albuquerque, New Mexico is Mr. Rich Paladino. So let's send it up to the ring to him right
now.
He's
been in Albuquerque.
Oh, he probably knows Saul.
It's the opening contest.
We are kicking off with JBL coming out in his very popular limousine with the Longhorns on the front of it. Dude, that's a badass limo. I'll say that first and foremost.
Yeah, it's like a white super stretch limo with Longhorns on the front of it. It was pretty cool. He comes out, he talks about how he and Eddie had passion, but they don't pay the bills with passion, and the crowd chants Eddie. Mm-hmm. JBL basically knows right now that whenever he talks about Eddie, it gets him nuclear heat from the crowd every time he brings up Eddie's name. Cause I've noticed like each week he's done that.
Well, and I think but do you really like it as far as the cheap heat kind of thing? Or do you think it's as long as you get over
about that? I was like, I don't know. I mean, I guess Eddie would be fine with it, but it is kind of using someone's death to help your angle more.
Yeah, but if you think about it though, previous to this, if you go back to any time in professional wrestling, they've really used a lot of, we'll say, wrestling deaths in storylines. You know, you can go all the way back upon Water Dave's favorite wrestling family, the Von Erichs. They used the death of Dave, I believe it was David, in 84 there for Kerry to win the 10 pounds at Dallas Stadium against Flair.
Yeah.
And by used it, I mean as far as, you know, momentum for that person or storyline going forward. You know, we've used it before with other people too. So it's one of those things where it's, I hate to say, become a custom in professional wrestling, but it kind of really has as far as using it to get cheap heat.
You know what I was just thinking about Albuquerque?
Uh-oh.
Green chili burritos.
Green chili burritos?
Mm-hmm.
Not Skyline chili?
No, this is green chili. This is a
new. So this is good chili then.
It's not as good as Skyline.
I gotta get those digs in there sooner or later.
So, anyways, yeah, I'm hungry. I wouldn't mind a green chili burrito right now.
Yeah, but you gotta go swimming after this. You can't eat that. I gotta wait
30 minutes.
Yeah. I'm gonna say somebody's gonna have to dive in and get your limp body out of there when you all cramp up. And
oh, it's too early for in the day to be worrying about me laying in the bottom of the pool. Wait till about 11 o'clock at night. Then there could be.
Yeah. But then you're all hopped up on freaking whiskey and barbecue or something. But so before we get to this opening match, did you like JBL here as the heel in general? Even though we got the we'll call it dirty heat because you're playing dirty off of somebody's death.
Yeah. I like that dirty heat. I think
I didn't even realize what I just said until now. I'm like, oh fuck.
Just made up a new phrase in wrestling.
Dirty heat.
It wasn't go away heat. It wasn't bad heat. It wasn't good heat. It was dirty heat.
That has t-shirt material written all over it. We'll patent that. We'll get with Mike Dawkins or something to make sure we trademark that.
Dirty. Yeah.
Dirty heat. Dirt, cheap.
I like JBL as a heel for sure. I like this whole character.
Yeah.
He definitely goes, you know, puts his toe on the line and sometimes steps over with his heel ways here. But no, I like it.
Yeah. It's something that you guys, if you know, wrestlers out there today need some references or advice to go on to how to cut a heel promo, how to cut a promo in general. Go watch this era JBL basically from 2006 to about 2008 until he you know, stopped wrestling. But our opening match here is a 6-person tag match. You got Paul London, Brian Kendrick, and Jillian Hall taking on MNM, Joey Mercury, Johnny Nitro, and not Melina. Not the good M&M. Now, what is your favorite M&M?
The candy. I was talking about the wrapper, but
I figured you'd be talking about food. Come on. Well, we were just talking about chili. I figured
that is a good question. And the only answer is peanut butter M&Ms.
Oh, you just shut your mouth.
Peanut butter M&Ms rule. We'll put
peanut butter, not peanut.
We'll put a poll up on Twitter when we're done.
Yeah, well, I'll definitely do that now.
You put in regular
peanut butter and peanut butter. What would be the fourth one?
And
because there's so many freaking right now. There's
you do the crunch ones.
I'll do other. Other.
Yeah.
Let them deal with it. I don't give a shit. Fuck it. Did you see the new ones they have now? They have like brownie batter or something.
Oh, those are good. And I'll tell you the ones that I really like is the key lime pie ones.
I haven't had those.
Those are fantastic.
I love key lime. Like every time, it alternates now for my birthday. My wife, I said, don't give me a cake anymore. I don't care about cake. My birthday's in June. I hate having cake because I'm like, I want something that cools you off. You know, get a key lime pie and a lemon meringue pie alternated every year. Oh, so freaking good. My grandmother used to make homemade pies like that.
Yes, pie is definitely better than cake.
Without question. There's another poll.
Well, I never eat birthday cakes or anything like that. I just don't like them. But you can throw a cherry pie in front of me, I'll eat that whole damn thing.
You know, my grandmother always used to make, you ever have rhubarb pie?
Oh, my grandma made cherry rhubarb pie.
Oh, cherry. Really? My grandma, she made and strawberry cherry
rhubarb around the, it, she grew it up around the, around the garage.
Sure.
And then she had a cherry tree too. So all the stuff that she put in it, she raised. And
yeah, no. Yeah. My grandparents grew, they had a little, probably like a about 5-foot by 5-foot little garden outside their house, and they'd grow, you know, vegetables and stuff, but they'd have like 2 rows of rhubarb. And my grandfather go out there and pick it for my grandmother. She'd, you know, smash it and stuff, but she'd make all her, you know, all the rhubarb, the pie. She'd the only thing she wouldn't do would be the pie crust, but she'd also put meringue on top. That's where the key is, because you can have it with the meringue on top, but you could also have it with the what do you call it? Lattice?
Yeah, just the crust on
that. Right. Well, this really went off on the weeds, and I like that. But hey, it's either food or it's wrestling with us. But go over to @_ringside rant now and check out that poll. I'll leave that up for, how long do you want me to leave that up for? Because obviously this is coming out and people are going to be wondering, what the fuck are you talking about?
I don't know.
I'll leave it up for a couple of days. Anyways, so
this match, Charles Robinson is our referee.
Sure.
So we got Kendrick and London again. I don't hate those two, but this match, after it had a long beginning, like felt like the beginning of the match was too long, like the get going into the match. Then we get a hot tag to London. The girls come in and do some spots. They get a good pop. The crowd is into the finish, though. Mm-hmm. Jillian crossbodies Melina for the win. Big pop, good opener, but too long, I felt like.
You know, I was all about the entrance for Melina, to be honest with you. I didn't really give a shit about the match, but that's, you know, that's a conversation for another day. But how did you like M&M's gear here with the robes and all that stuff? Obviously, we'll see him next week as well on Judgment Day.
Yeah. But
obviously, this is your first time seeing them, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what did you think of their gimmick here? Obviously, they're you know, those they're taking off and like on Hollywood stars, all that stuff, over the top gimmick as far as
Johnny Mulliston's done that character a few times, hasn't he? Didn't he just
he's pretty much done that his whole career, at least in WWE, anyways.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. It's nothing that blows me away, for sure.
We should really think about getting those furs for Top Guy Weekend, just for us.
Ooh.
It might be a little hot.
Yeah. But then we get speaking of Judgment Day, we get a Judgment Day press conference promo, and then a Mark Henry Angle promo. And then we see an Angle backstage promo by himself. He's talking. It's awkward to see face Angle promo here for me. Mm-hmm. I don't think he was very good at a face promo. Heel Angle is much better, I think.
Oh yeah, without question. So we got a couple questions here from Brad Stanton Devin Dowling. Brad wants to know, who do you think has the bigger chest, Melina or Great Khali?
Well, I'd have to go Great Khali just based off of mass size. I mean,
well, it's got to be proportionate because Melina is very short.
Yeah.
And Khali is like ginormous. I think
his chest is like the size of Melina. So
yeah, that's what I was thinking too. And I'm like, Brad sent this question over. I'm like, all right, there's many different ways we can answer this. We're going to go with this way because it just makes common sense. You got to look at the science of this. You know, this may be a bullshit question from Brad Stanton that he wants us to go off on it. And we kind of will, kind of have, but I think just science-wise, mass, proportionate, okay, yeah.
Thanks for that hard-hitting question, Brad.
Yeah, you always can rely on Brad for those hard-hitting questions. But speaking of hard-hitting questions, Devin has one for us. Do you think WWE missed the boat with Eminem and London and Kendrick as teams?
I don't know. What do you think? Because, I mean, I didn't see enough of them.
Yeah, I think they didn't with Eminem, but I really think they did more so with London and Kendrick because they didn't really give them the just due, because in this era, the tag team championships were just going all over the place. Eminem had it, then these guys had it, then these guys had it, then those guys had it. If, you know, it's the old adage, a lot of people say, hey, if you're about 5 years earlier, 5 years later, you'd make a whole hell of a lot of difference. This is a perfect example. London and Kendrick are the perfect examples of that. Because if you say, we'll go 5 years earlier for London and Kendrick, I don't want to go 5 years later, because 5 years later, the business is shit. You go 5 years back here to about 2000, 2001, more so 2001, you're coming off of the whole, you're at the invasion angle. These guys would legitimately be on WWF side of it. They wouldn't be on or you could put them on either side, it wouldn't make any difference, but give them the just due. You get a guy along the lines, you get, have them go against the Hardys, have them go against the Dudleys, Edge and Christian, APA, all these great tag teams, they would have gotten over like Rover. And I guess you could say the same thing about Eminem too, but I think that Eminem got their just due in this era anyways, until they would break up soon later. But now, obviously you don't remember this because you weren't completely engrossed into this, the promotion at this time, but the music that we're going to be hearing promoed for Judgment Day is CM Punk's first Muse entrance theme when he came into the company.
Oh, okay.
Just a little piece of context to it. I know some people actually pick up on that as they watch this SmackDown and obviously Judgment Day next week. So it's a little kind of nugget. I'm like, I heard it in the background when I was in the other room watching it. I'm like, wait, what the fuck? What the hell is this shit? But the tape promo for Kurt Angle, I agree with you as far as him being a heel-esque. I don't really like him. His baby face is, I think, different than the regular baby fit, white meat baby face that we didn't see like a Hulk Hogan or a Ricky Steamboat. With him, his face, baby face, is kind of like a over the top, like a watered down heel, because he is telling you why he's great. And technically he's a baby face in some of this, right when he first came into the company in 99 or 2000 there. Mm-hmm. But this buildup between Angle and Henry, both of them being at the 96 Olympics, Angle winning a gold medal, Mark Henry not doing jack shit.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And then obviously Henry taking Angle out, hurting his ribs, and keeping that storyline, selling it to keep him off TV for a little bit. Mm-hmm. But Henry at this time, man, it's just, if you go back and watch anything about Mark Henry, watch this era, 2006, 2005 and forward until he retired. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it just great heel. He's another one of those guys that I don't believe as a face. He does wonders as a heel. And I've never met him personally, but from what I've seen online, what I've heard about him, one of the most genuine human beings on the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm. He's someone that I would be hopeful that would be like a Top Guy weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Our second match is Lashley versus Jared Steele, and it's a squash. Nothing to really report on that. So they are still doing squash matches here with jobbers,
sure,
on TV. Third match, Finlay and Booker T versus Benoit and this damn Hunter Scott again.
Well, we see him back again. And, you know, Brad's back again with another question about these squash matches that we've seen between Jared Steele, Gunnar Scott, all that stuff. Do you really think that this dominating enhancement talents gives a wrestler really a lot of credibility as far as like being Bobby Lashley or Booker T or whatever?
I think with the Lashley thing, it was just showing he's trying to show, you know, whoever he's going to fight at the pay-per-view is that.
Sure. Booker T.
He's
in the finals for Booker T.
Yeah, he's just trying to show Booker T this is what's going to happen to him. That's basically what it's for in the storyline. Mm. I get it. It's fine.
And even with Gunnar Scott, though, and like he had a lot of potential being a former ROH star and NWA champion, as Devin Dowling stated. Do you think it's just like wrong time, wrong place kind of thing for him with the WWE?
I guess because until a few weeks ago, I've never heard of his name in my life.
Well, there you go. There's your answer for that, Devin. But fuck, I'm screwing up his fucking. I'm sorry, Devin. I'm really fucking up your name today. I don't know why. I'm not even drinking. I'm drinking fucking 7-Up. So we're going to see another featured video here with Tatanka.
Just to finish off that last match.
Sure. Shoot.
Charmel, let's see. And Book get distracted by Lashley. Benoit rolls him up and wins. And so, see, that's continuing that Lashley storyline.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, oh, God, another Tatanka vignette.
And he's coming back. He's coming next week. So, obviously, it's not going to be a show we're going to be going over, but he'll come back here on SmackDown. He'll have a brief run here, but it's just like, okay, at this point, it's like, who really gives a shit?
I want to know, that needs to be a Bruce question. I'm sure maybe he's talked about it before, but who the fuck's idea was it to bring Tatanka back at this time?
Well, but there was the same, I think, would you really put Tatanka along the same lines of them bringing Goldust back too?
No. Goldust was, more of a beloved character by the fans than Tatanka.
Tatanka. Okay. Well, that makes sense. But I mean, as far as going back to history and bringing back these stars, you know?
Yeah. Our fourth match, Mark Henry and Matt Hardy. I don't know. It's kind of a squash match, right? But not
well,
really.
Hardy got some sort of offense against Henry. But like I said, between Mark Henry and the Great Khali, they're trying their asses off to get these guys over his heels. And obviously one's going to work a hell of a lot better than the other. And that being Mark Henry compared to the Great Khali, because nobody gives a fucking damn about Great Khali. You know what I mean? Where I think a lot more people will react to Mark Henry being the heelish character, being that character against guys like Matt Hardy, Rey Mysterio, Kurt Angle, going forward, you'd see some stuff with him and John Cena as well.
And Big Mark comes out here, his music hits. I love his music, as we may see later in the show. But somebody gonna get their ass kicked.
Somebody had the wing split.
In this situation, it was Matt Hardy. Mark gets extra heat by continuing to beat the shit out of Hardy after the match, then cuts a promo on Kurt. Great job continuing to build Henry as just that big old fucking nasty heel.
And the thing is, though, too, and we're gonna see it next week when we go over Judgment Day with Pond and Water Dave, is they really know what they have here with Henry, because he's been involved in the business for so long, going against a guy like Kurt Angle towards the end of his WWE run here, but he still has that intensity, though, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
Something that didn't have fucking intensity was his fucking backstage segment with Nunzio and Big Vito.
Oh god.
And enter Paul Burchill. So somebody that hasn't seen a lot of this show before, Justin, or not at all, what were your thoughts on Paul Burchill as the pirate?
I didn't know what the hell was going on.
And don't say I'm going to be that guy for Halloween, because I'm going to be really upset.
No, I hated that whole segment. I mean, I almost put it out of my memory. I didn't even write anything down about it. I was sort of like, what the hell? One interesting thing about this, they're still doing the slam of the week, I noticed.
Yeah, I don't get it. I really didn't. I'm like, okay, well, I guess you're going to do it, aren't you? whether you like it or not.
And we get our main event here, which is Ray, who comes out for a huge pop, versus a question mark. We don't know who. Mm-hmm. JBL comes out for commentary. He gets on the table and cuts a promo. He says that they were in Albuquerque, North Mexico. Kane is his mystery opponent. Ray missed a drop kick to Kane's head, pretty big, but Kane sold it. Or no, Kane didn't even sell it. He couldn't even sell it. It wasn't close enough.
right, yeah.
Kane gets all fucked up by some weird music. What is that?
So a little context to this is, this is the same era. JBL asked what day it was, and Ray responded May 19th, which brought out Kane. So a little context to this. At this time, Fear No Evil, it was Kane's movie that he starred in that was part of the WWE films, and May 19th was that drop, there was that air breakout date.
I bet that was a classic.
Oh, we got a question about that. So Fear No Evil, so they're trying to, it had no significance with anything whatsoever. Basically, they're playing off his character in the movie. And the release date was the 19th of May, the WWE Studios. It was a horror film, obviously, because you know of Kane. It was actually originally titled, before it was Fear No, See No Evil. It was See No Evil at the end. The original theme, you want to guess what it was? I know you've seen the run sheet, so you may or may not have seen it.
Go ahead.
I Scream Man, as an I.
Scream.
Not ice cream.
I know.
I Scream Man. That was the original title.
I Scream Man.
Uh-huh. So you could really take that whatever way. I'm sure it's probably a film that you've probably seen online before, but no, Kane stars as Jacob.
It's a horror movie. I thought it was going to be a romantic comedy.
I thought so too. Because that sounds like something Tom Cruise and Renee Zellweger would star in. And it'd be like, what was that stupid movie, that chick flick that, they were like out on a boat and they like do it in the rain or something. I don't know what the hell it was.
Your dream last night.
That was?
Kane.
How do you know about my dreams?
But when the Five Nights team got fed, Kane, or... whatever, he started flipping out. Ray gets a 619, then gets choke slammed, and JBL comes in and says May 19th, and he got choke slammed.
Yeah,
all over this May 19th.
I get how they wanted to like get their release date out there to see this movie, See No Evil. I know you didn't see it. I saw it.
You watched See No Evil. I watched Ice Cream Man.
Yeah, but like I said, that's a totally different movie that will probably be aired in its entirety Top Guy weekend. Ice Cream Man is probably Frank Bruno's autobiography. Oh. I'm sorry, Frank.
You know what my favorite ice cream is? Cherry cordial. The cherries with the chocolate in there. That shit rocks for me.
So there is a, I guess you, what's an ice cream? It's a creamery that they call it, correct? Where they make ice cream?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
There is one here locally. It's actually by where I grew up in Akron. It's called Perry's. And they actually have one. It's called Cherry Panda Paws. My son absolutely loves it. It's like little piece of chunks of it. Yeah, it's actual paws. But it has like it's like cherry ice cream, but with like little chocolate, like chunks and swirls and shit. It's very good. Google it. But
I'm for it.
You know, they say See No Evil. They should really rename this movie See No Talent, because this was absolutely dog shit.
See No Movie.
See No Movie. See No Acting. It was their intent, man. You know, if there is any type of WWE Studios films that I would recommend watching, it's The Condemned with Stone Cold Steve Austin. That was actually a decent movie. Was it a fucking Oscar winning movie? Fuck no.
Well, Steve wasn't up that year.
But I'm like, don't go me wrong. I love the mayor, but it's just like, dude, what the fuck?
I don't love the mayor. He can go.
Well, but that's for another conversation for another time. You know, you should run with your good buddy there and on the other hill of West Virginia, your lawyer friend over there, and you could for governor.
Stephen P. New.
Okay, so would he be your running mate if you were running for office in this great state of West Virginia?
Yes.
Would be Stephen P. New, you'd be your running mate, right?
Davis New, and our campaign manager would be Jim Cornette.
Motherfucker. Free cheeseburgers for everybody.
Cornette calling a newspaper.
Oh my
God. How dare you fucking say that about my goddamn candidate, you motherfucker? I swear to God, I'll fucking kill you.
Motherfucker. Dude, book it now. Book it now. Davis New Cornette. It sounds like a fucking lawyer firm. Davis. Personal lawyers. Davis New and Cornette. Call 1-800-NEW for you. There we go, man. That's completely bullshit, but what the fuck? So, like you said, overall, how did you like this build going towards Judgment Day here? Because obviously Judgment Day is going to be that exclusively for SmackDown. This is the go-home. A lot of the times, go-homes really aren't that good, but what did you think about this show?
I mean, I wasn't super impressed by this show. you know, it was okay. But there was really nothing in it that was really good, you know. Sure. So I would give this show a C.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I wouldn't, you know, it proved its point to get these storylines going towards Judgment Day.
Yeah.
It got Ray over, kind of a little bit of momentum going into the pay-per-view. It got JBL a little bit of heat at the beginning and at the end. Kane was kind of like a who the fuck cares, because it didn't make any difference. But even with like the King of the Ring, I've liked a lot of the storylines going forward, going into this in this pay-per-view, because I'm fans of a lot of these guys. So, you know, it's good to see that a lot, they're continuing to get this going to Judgment Day. So, and speaking of Judgment Day, we're going to have a little bit of a new addition to Wrestling with Music this week. We put it out online, and on top of the many, many letters that we've gotten, the telegrams, the phone calls, the DMs, we've settled on a lovely person that we are quite fond of to add a listener's edition to Wrestling with Music this week. So Before we do that, let's send it up to Elijah to hit the button.
This is the top dog, Jonah, and I'm here to tell you, if you listen to podcasts, you need to listen to the new podcast by Brian Hebner, Reffin' It Up. Make sure you're listening.
Having two successful podcasts, having a job that I'm up for at 4:30 in the morning, having a family, having a 10-year-old son that I want to go outside and play ball with each and every day, I needed a lot of energy. And I wanted to stay fit at the same time. And I really didn't want to take, you know, this pill or that pill or all these different pills that'll cost me hundreds of dollars. But thanks for a great new sponsor, AG1 by Athletic Greens, I don't need to do any of that. Just with one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, and whole food-sourced superfoods, as well as probiotics, to help you start your day right. This is a special blend of ingredients to support your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, and you recover and you focus so much better with AG1 from Athletic Greens. And the best part about it is it costs you less than $3 a day. It's cheaper than getting all those different supplements from the store, all these different pills. It is just simply fantastic. And right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with confident daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills or supplements to look out for your health. To make it even easier, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune support vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/emerging. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/emerging to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Thanks to our friends over at athleticgreens.com.
Let's get musical. Let me hear your body talk.
So nothing's really changed with the top 10 this week, Justin, coming into this week, I should say, excuse me. So same old, go over. It's online there. Check it out. We got three new additions this week. So Justin, we're going to get to 100 sooner rather than hopefully 100 sooner than later. Get us up to 65.
Yep. We are getting there. And this week, my song embodies how Amy felt last week on how we ranked John Cena's music. Somebody's going to get their ass kicked.
Imagine the pain that I bring if I say it, I'm a join in the streets of this thing. It's a K-I-N-G-N here, wildest band in the world, and I have no fear. I'm the mean and the mean, the nightmare dreams, the root of all evil. Weak fear of me, yeah. Somebody go get their ass kicked. Somebody go get their wings split. Somebody go get their ass kicked. Somebody go get their wings split.
All right, Justin. So
beat him up, beat him up.
Kick his ass. So if we don't rank this properly and or hers, I'm pretty sure she's gonna break her necks at Top Guy Weekend.
Well, I tell you what, I was into that. I mean, that song sounds like it could be on the radio. Like I could put that in the playlist and get psyched up to that song.
So a little context to it. Do you know who actually sings this theme? Because it's not a Jim John. Okay. This is Tony Schiavone's favorite rap group, 3-6 3-6 Mafia.
Okay.
So this is Tony Schiavone's favorite rap group.
I can't believe that wasn't a Jim Johnson production. Sounded just like him.
Oh my god! Oh, but the thing is, though, it sounded like Mark Henry too.
Yeah, it was great, man. I loved it. I really did. I was into it.
So where would you rank this? Because I'm thinking about, if you're looking at the screen, I would put it right about there. That's me. I don't know if you want to go higher, if you want to go lower.
Man, I could go higher.
You think so?
I could put it in front of Edge and behind Jericho.
See, this is my thing, though. You said ahead of Edge?
Mm-hmm.
I would put it behind Edge. I don't know.
But I could put it where you originally thought, too.
Because I was thinking 20 between Goldust and Eddie Guerrero, WCW. Strictly for it, because I think a lot of people don't know who that this theme would be.
I can go with that.
You want to go? Because even with Goldust too, I would put it right behind Goldust, because when you hear that Goldust theme, you know it's Goldust.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
I'll tell you, I like that song though. I might have to throw that in the old playlist.
I think it's the
first time I've ever heard that much of it. Like all, you know.
But it's a 2 minute, as you see here, it's about a 2 minute and 49 second, excuse me, a 2 minute and 49 second theme. So you could just play it on loop all the time. when you're coming down for Top Guy weekend from the hills of West Virginia.
I'll tell you, right before the Bengals play the Bills on Monday Night Football, I'm going to be playing that.
I figured somebody it'd be like Welcome to the Jungle or something.
Somebody got to get their ass kicked.
Ain't gonna be
Josh Allen got to get Bills. His wig split.
We got plenty of season to talk shit about this, because it's at the end of the year. So it's like, son of a bitch.
That game's going to have big seating implications, probably.
That's why I love it
and
so
home
much.
Field and all that.
Most likely. Well, but that's if the Bengals don't freaking shit the bed and we consider themselves overrated. Bed. Yeah. Well.
We have made ourselves better.
Is that what it is?
Yes. Is that what it is? I am confident. So what are you playing for us?
So this is one of the low-key underrated theme songs from this era. And he's still going today. He's still wrestling today. Is Bobby Lashley. And we're going to see him go against Booker T next week for the King of the Ring finals. Stop it there, because I didn't realize how actually repetitive it actually is. But it's kind of a testament of the times and what the themes would be. I'm not going to rank it awfully higher than a lot of people would. Honestly, I would even put it, if you're looking at, I would even put it right there.
I put it lower. I can't put that in front of Owen's Rocket or even Yokozuna. I love Yokozuna's music. That music there is just very, very bland, I guess would be the way to put it.
So how about right there at 37, right above APA?
I don't want to put it in front of APA either, because I love APA. That squeal, that's good shit too.
How about right behind APA then?
Okay, so we're going to put that in front of Finley, and he likes to fight.
Okay, well, how about right up? You're killing me, Smalls. Fuck. How about in front of Roseanne's theme?
Yeah, I was going to say maybe there.
Okay, we'll put it there, because at least that Amy would probably agree with us on that. So with that being said, like we mentioned before, we're actually adding Amy gave us an option of saying, hey, put this up high or I'm going to kick your fucking ass. You think I'm kidding, guys? I am not.
He is not kidding.
She literally said, if you do not rank this up, I'm going to kick your asses. I said, okay.
I'm walking into Top Guy weekend like Shawn Michaels with Diesel. I'm having muscle behind me. I'm scared of Amy when I get there.
So you're walking in with Efren?
Well, maybe. Possibly.
Yeah, but the, okay. She's not going to kick your ass.
I was thinking more like Bonwater Dave.
You're probably better off walking in with a goose behind you.
Well, the goose will be there too. He's part of
He'll be behind the pond water day. So we are actually going to be instituting the theme to Randy Macho Man Savage. Continuing to go over this each and every week. Stay tuned to following us on Twitter @_ringsiderant. I'll post them probably every day, if not every other day, to get these theme songs on file, because we're going to keep going week to week to week. I know Devin Dowling sent me about two or three of them, so I got a couple of those that I can work with. But this week, start off hot, to start off on a good note, I figured I'd start with Miss Amy, so we didn't get our asses kicked, or a wing split. Or dominated, or whatever the hell you want to call it. But this week, we are going to add Randy Macho Man Savage.
Yeah.
To cut it off there. I hate to do it, but I have to.
Well, the best part of that is the video package that I mean, it basically just went through his whole WWE career right there throughout while that song was playing, and getting to see all the different robes and stuff and just all the different times that he had there in the WWE. It was awesome. I didn't want to stop it just because I wanted to keep watching the stuff on the video.
Exactly. And the thing that this is, though, is, and this is just me, and whether you agree with me or not, that's fine, but when I listen to Randy's theme, when I watch this video, because I watch this on the regular, to be honest with you, because I want to remember Randy Savage, and you can't help but smile. We were both smiling watching it. And yes, you can say, okay, it's the graduation theme or whatever. Well, no, I agree with Amy, and she even said that in her little group chat we have with her, is when I think of this, I don't think of that. I think of Macho Man Randy Savage. And to point of reference, when I walked down the aisle for my college graduation, when this was playing, I did the whole, ooh, yeah. And my girlfriend at the time was my wife, kind of did one of these, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, I'm surprised she married you after that.
Yeah, so am I. Jesus Christ. I'm surprised we have a son together. Jesus. Really, man, I don't know. It just, when you listen to this, you can't help, for me anyways, I can't help get goosebumps. I can't help smile, because I remember growing up watching Savage wrestle and throughout his career. And that's something that hits you in the feels. So, and I think we'll hopefully be on some sort of agreement with this ranking, but what's your take on it?
I love it. It's iconic. It's like you said, it's to wrestling fans, it's not the graduation song, it's Macho Man song.
Sure. Yeah.
And as far as its ranking, I could rank it as high as number 3.
Now, I was going to put it where I have it right now at number five, strictly for the fact I don't want to piss you off because you're going to go swimming now and be happy and be glad and all that stuff. So I didn't want to put it ahead of Bret Hart, but I can totally, totally get down with putting it. Honestly, I was even thinking.
Can you put it in front of the NWO music?
I think you can. I think you can make a legitimate argument for putting it at number two, right behind Stone Cold Steve Austin, because if you go to, we'll say, we'll play Family Feud. We played Family Feud with Efren on a game event. We'll play Family Feud. Top five answers are on the board. You play this theme, everybody's going to realize Randy Savage, that's Randy Savage. For wrestling fans.
Yeah.
With the NWO, it's hit and miss.
Yeah.
And to me anyway, I think. So I think you can legitimately put it at number two.
I agree. I don't
know. You think you, we'll put it at number two. Hopefully, I'm afraid to tell Amy that we put it at number two and not number one.
Yeah. Now she's just gonna, you know, she won't torture you when she kills you, but she'll still kill you.
Oh, she'll still kill you, but it's just a matter of, it's going to be like that goose going after Poundwater Dave. He's not going to kill Poundwater Dave. He's just going to peck at his freaking white ass for.
Imagine Poundwater Dave. You see it in the news. Poundwater Dave dies of drowning in his own pond because he was running from a goose, tripped, hit his head on a rock, fell in the pond, and tragically died.
So, okay, I could just, okay, we can write our headlines here for the, we'll call it Old Mississippi Times. Man drowns by way of goose. Print it, sell it, book it, let's go. But seriously, though, that'll be our number two, our first one that we've had in quite some time.
First one to break the top 10 since...
To top five.
Well, the top five
well,
first
the
one.
Well, the top 10 since
a
Razor.
A long time, but since Razor in the top 10, but yeah.
So hopefully, Amy, don't kill us right off the bat. At least let us linger for a little bit. But next week, Justin.
And that slides the Horsemen out of the top 10.
Yeah. And yeah, so the whole, hopefully, like I said, that doesn't put us down the pecking order for being knocked off by our lovely top gal, Amy. But next week, if we don't get killed by Amy, we'll be here next week. And next week, Justin, we'd be going over Judgment Day 2006 with Poundwater Dave, if the goose doesn't get him either. So
I want to know if we can get the goose on the show with Poundwater Dave.
I'll have to put my feelers out. I'll have to email Conrad.
Talk to the Gooses people. Well, see if we can make this happen.
I figured if I email Conrad knows everybody. Goose.
You think he knows the Gooses agent?
Oh, I have no doubt about that. I'm sure he has them on speed dial at this point, because he's like, dude, if this goose can beat the shit out of Poundwater Dave, I want to have a podcast with him.
The goose is over. The goose is loose, motherfuckers. Oh,
there you go. There you go. There's coming soon to ad-free shows and podcast platforms everywhere. The goose is loose with Conrad Thompson and the Poundwater Dave Goose. Book it, sell it, let's go.
I'm telling you, if this goose needs to be booked for Top Guy Weekend, that goose would get a huge pop when it came out.
Bigger than Poundwater Dave coming in after his nightly bender.
Yeah.
But at least it'll be easier for you and me. And
you imagine if the goose and Poundwater get drunk on Friday and they both come slinking in hungover.
No, but see, at least you're killing me, literally. At least it'll be easier for me, you, and Anthony to get the goose upstairs.
I'm not carrying the goose. I've got experience of carrying Poundwater Dave. I don't fuck with a goose. You guys can carry that goose.
I'll freaking put a rubber on his neck and drag it upstairs for all I care. Oh, but no, I'm a serious note though. We're looking forward to have Dave on next week. I know he's excited to be part of the show, and we're definitely looking forward to having him on next week. So get your questions in now. I think we'll be recording about, I think as this drops Friday morning, I'm pretty sure we're recording Sunday, a week from today. And then as you're listening to this live, 2 days from now. So get those questions in. I'll get the old DM out, or the old Twitter machine out, and post it, send them over. We'll get some questions in there. I don't know what match we're going to be watching yet. I'll have to float that by Pondwater to see what he wants to watch. May just be the main event, to be honest with you, between JBL and Rey Mysterio, maybe something else. Who knows? So Justin, what do you got before we close up shop and you jump in that pool without any shorts on?
Yes. Feel like the summer is beginning and got 2 more weeks left to work, and we are going to be ready to head to Nashville here pretty soon. So just looking forward to the summer. Everyone enjoy this great weather we've been having. I know it's been in the 80s here all week and good old West Virginia ice. So see y'all next week with Pondwater Dave and hopefully his goose.